Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9, and this is a show called Funk My Life. And tonight, we're going to do what we mostly do, which is listen to all sorts of remixed funk and soul music. And the interesting thing about tonight is I'm going to try to go off script, because usually there's a fair bit of an intensive writing process, and then you have to kind of go around and try to make some sort of informative banter, and ideally some sort of almost thesis for the show, right? Like, you want to cover a particular subject. But tonight, maybe we can just kind of go through some music and just talk about how things are. But perhaps we'll start off with a song. I mean, one of the neat things and what defines Funk My Life as a show is the idea behind the producer being the artist. And it's not that common for radio shows to acknowledge, for instance, bedroom DJs as legitimate people who produce music, creative artists. And a lot of it's cheapened by, say, the way that the image is sold by large music companies. So it's really neat when you come across a bedroom DJ who's really good. So here's one from, I believe, China, because his song's names are all in Chinese, and I can't find any info about him. His name's Eddie, just straight Eddie. And here's a song, bunch of Chinese characters, I can't read them. But in parentheses, it says farewell. So it's this really lovely soul hop song, and we're going to start off with that. It's really chill, lots of piano, a hip-hop beat, and some scratching as well. So talk to you in a bit. We'll be right back. So there you have Eddie with a song called Farewell, but really just a bunch of Chinese characters I can't recognize. And I can recognize that they're Chinese and not like Korean or anything else, but just really beautiful, chill, down-tempo music. And that's one of those funny things about Seoul. And hold on a second, I'm just trying to reorientate myself, trying to do the lotus position to be in the zen of the broadcast booth. So one of the things about this kind of, how should I phrase this? So that's one song, for instance, that I would include in a playlist for a formal audience, whether that's at a dinner party or before some sort of announcement or an art gallery opening. I find music like that to work particularly well because it's unoffensive, yet kind of engaging. And I mean, that's purely a subjective matter. Obviously, some people might find that a little bit too much like elevator music, and that goes into the realm of offensive. So it's funny because when you think about the origins of soul music, a lot of it's not from a kosher root. There's a lot of, I don't know, for instance, people grew up without parents, or they grew up in the family of a brothel. So they grew up in a brothel, or they had prior criminal convictions or something of the sort, where it's a marginalized group, and that's the source upon which they draw to create and write songs. So a lot of these, especially things like classy jazz, come from really seedy after hours nightclubs, and you know, there's a lot of elements of the criminal underground as well. So you have this kind of duality behind soul music that's very interesting. So what isn't offensive today at some point would have been very lewd and was associated with say I don't know, the nightlife. And sometimes it's very proud to present that side of music, and I feel that's why a lot of, say, 1980s style of funk is that way. So disco is very decadent, and it's unashamedly so. Often it doesn't deal with politics or any sort of socially conscious message, which is great. Like, that's perfectly fine. And it's interesting because that in of itself is a little bit of a statement. So when disco fell out of favor, when I believe in Wrigley Stadium there was the burning of disco records, that in of itself, so that was called the death of disco, and there is speculation that a lot of people were there to frankly just burn black culture. So what they perceived as Afro-American kind of culture, so something that promoted their image and it was a threat to what otherwise would have been a kind of a bigoted society. And that's a little bit hard for me to comment on. I'm neither black nor white. And the other thing I need to mention is that I'm born in the mid 80s. So I missed a lot of that. This is all just musical education for me as well. I'm going to do a lot of talking tonight, which is nice because usually you don't get to. And last week, I had the opportunity to broadcast with the host of Shake a Tail Feather, DJ V, and it was nice to just have somebody to talk to. So that sort of dialogue is very easy. It's much easier than trying to focus on the microphone and, you know, make conversation. So anyway, let's look at another song. One interesting thing is that with the bedroom DJ producer scene, you can follow a lot of people and find out what they like, which is an incredible innovation if you are looking for very niche themes. So for instance, one thing I really enjoy about SoundCloud and a lot of these other sites like YouTube, for instance, is that you can type in any sort of obscure song or obscure production, and it will recommend things to you, which is phenomenal. So just by following a few choice DJs, for instance, if you want to learn more about the Vancouver scene, just following, let's say you only know one Vancouver DJ, just follow what they like and whatever they're listening to, you can listen to as well. And chances are a lot of it has to do with who they're working with. So a lot of the music I can find is through scenes like that. So one of the releases this past week on November 28th is out from one of our local acts, the Funk Hunters. And they did an excellent remix of Is It True? It's this song from CNTC and Salenta. And this was released on Future Breaks, I believe, Volume 2. Yeah, Future Breaks, Volume 2. And they got the A1 track, so the opening side of this vinyl, which is incredible. The vinyl itself is released on December 5th, so this upcoming week. And here's that remix from the Funk Hunters, a Commercial Drive crowd, or just a East Van crowd here.
Rotterdam, goddamn, these starving organs, him and her. Mulling over your prose, modernity, yeah, I heard them scream. We are many, we are many, we are. And in the Hague I did proclaim, 'cause then I'll find God in the gutter. You catch the dead and bury them with old words. When the hours begin to flee, I will sing, recover me. We are many, we are many, we are dust. We are many, we are many, we are dust. To dust, we will all return.
Shout out to you for your support of our Fresh Beat.
You really knew what time it was during our 2011 fun drive, and we thank you, thank you, thank you for being so kind.
Big love and ups from your crew at CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And until next year, remember to keep it real.
All right, you are still listening to Funk My Life with your host, Ochre, like the color but spelled differently. And we just heard a new Canadian artist by the name of Cold Specs, and she's a black Ontarian singer, and she's just making her breakout now. That song is called Holland, and that's her first single that she's releasing just this year. So a bit of a breakout artist, and it's straddling the fence between soul, blues, and folk music. Really, I would honestly qualify that song as folk, but it does carry on a lot of the traditions of blues music, and it's a little bit interesting. For people who have listened to this show for a while, blues music, we once played that audio clip from James Brown about how blues music has been adopted by pop music, and pop music is becoming more like blues. And the question that was asked of James Brown is if he felt blues music was becoming pop music. It was borrowing elements of pop music, but really he said that things were going quite the opposite direction. And maybe tonight we can jump right on to the way we always try to have a song that features a connection to some previous song, and we talk about that connection. So we might just jump right into it, because tonight's a little bit more open-ended. I do have a playlist, and just to give people an idea, usually this kind of thing takes several hours to produce 1 hour of content. So I think the ratio is about 2.5 to 1 now. So sometimes it takes me 4, sometimes 5, but rarely 5, sometimes 4 hours to produce 1 hour of content, because it tends to be a very specialized form of music. It's a little bit difficult to find some of the, especially the danceable material. We do focus a lot more on what's more upbeat. Anyway, so tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about Piaf. So we were going to listen to a song Grace Jones. I couldn't think of her name for a second. Grace Jones. So Grace Jones was what I'd say the first Lady Gaga. And it's one of those things where pop music is a little bit of a dirty word on an independent music station, especially, you know, if we're going to try to talk about the big name acts like Madonna. And the thing is, there's always a connection between these groups who have championed causes, for instance, in civil rights, and what is represented on the mainstream. So Grace Jones is really one of them, because she had a lot to do with how the queer community have structured themselves. And not only the queer community, but also the fashions and tastes of Afro-Americans. So Grace Jones was quite popular in, I believe, the late 70s, early 80s. And she was a little bit of everything. She was a incredible figure. She inspired Andy Warhol's artwork. She was very popular. She performed live at Studio 54 in New York. She wrote tons of songs and performed songs. They tended to vary greatly in style, but mostly in disco. She sang quite well. She had a darker ability to channel something darker in her voice, when disco tended to be really light and really decadent. So she was a little bit of everything once again. So she, for instance, she would perform in movies. She's an actor. She's a model. She has, she would wear things such as wire hanger dresses and things that would be very odd. So she adopted the androgynous look, and that was what first popularized the idea of this androgynous, glamorous self. So she, for instance, is the inspiration for a lot of the queer community's cross-dressing, because she would try to redefine gender roles within American society. And it was very interesting, because she became big. That's the funny thing about it, was that she became extremely popular, and she would represent what Lady Gaga represents today for the queer community. Anyway, so once again, she also did very what seems mundane things, like, for instance, the flat cut that was popular in the late 80s. Apparently it was popularized from Grace Jones. And we're going to listen to one of her songs, and it's an interesting connection, because this is one of her singles, La Vie en Rose, and it's a cover of it. Edith Piaf song. So we're going to talk about her in a bit, but here is La Vie en Rose. Thank you. So this song is quite commonly covered. Some prominent artists have been B.B. King, Diana Krall, Louis Armstrong, Cyndi Lauper, Celine Dion. It's a very standard pop song. But the original artist, many of you probably have even heard the original version. It's Edith Piaf, and there hasn't been a show where I could find a direct connection between, say, funk and soul music and Edith Piaf. beyond, say, Grace Jones, and this is kind of a bit of a loose connection. So it's something I can still talk about. And Edith Piaf had a very interesting life. She was born in 1915, so 3 years before World War I, and she was a French singer. If you had to qualify her, she was of the cabaret, French nightclub, actual club singer of old. So when you think old silver screen movies in black and white, that was the model of which she was a singer for. So not only did she follow that tradition, but her mother followed that tradition. She was born from a mother who was a cafe singer, and her father was a Norman street acrobat with theatrical experience. So he was really just a circus performer. And then he enlisted in the French army later in life. And she was abandoned very early on. And when she was abandoned, she took on a variety of different jobs. So she was blind from the age of 3 to 7 as a result of keratitis. And once she regained her sight, the reason she regained her sight was because one of the prostitutes she lived with, when she got moved into a brothel that her grandmother helped run, she met a prostitute who helped take care of her and sent her on a pilgrimage to St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And apparently the restoration of her sight was a miraculous healing. And so at the age of 14, she joins her father in street acrobatic performances all over France, and that's how she got into public performance, because that's where she had her first stage where she sang. And as she developed her singing, it was a turbulent time of her life, especially being caught in a variety of different things, from World War I and then on to World War II, and then all sorts of wacky, unfortunate circumstances, such as the loss of the love of her life in a airplane crash. So she married boxer Marcel Cerdan, who died in a crash in October 1949 while flying from Paris to New York. And a lot of her life has been these tragedies. So, you know, not, for instance, being abandoned by your mother, growing up in a brothel, losing the love of your life. So a lot of her songs are reflections on her sadness. And this is why a lot of her songs tend to be very sad, very, very not happy music. But that's the interesting thing, is that this approach is really fascinating, because if you listen to blues music, this is almost a different style altogether of expressing the same emotions. When we do artist biographies, we often hear the story. I mean, being abandoned by your parents and growing up in a brothel, that's something we've heard quite a few times before. And it's these parallels that draw out the same emotions, yet the development of these emotions have trended towards very different styles of music. For instance, in her case, many would consider her pop music. So when we think, for instance, who's that? Who's that? So a lot of the old 1950s, for instance, Old Blue Eyes. Why can I not? Old Blue Eyes. Frank Sinatra. That's it. Frank Sinatra is pop music, but it tended to be very sad and very, very sentimental music. And that's how I would describe this, whereas blues tends to be a little less sentimental. So here's the original La Vie en Rose, and this is Edith Piaf.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout. je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, que ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. Des nuits d'amour à plus finir, un grand bonheur qui prend sa place, des ennuis, des chagrins s'effacent, heureux, heureux, à en mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est toi pour moi, moi pour toi dans la vie. Tu me l'as dit, pas juré pour la vie.
You know, to classify her as a somewhat popular musician would be a complete understatement. She really was the greatest pop singer of France. She just hit it big, and she was very expressive. She was very strong and independent. She really exemplified the ability of women to become superstars, really. So that's the interesting tie from her to Grace Jones, back to Grace Jones. Grace Jones herself redefined what it meant to be a sexual woman in the limelight. So once again, she was very popular with Warhol, and Warhol would photograph her continuously and nonstop. And she made cover illustrations as well for many magazines. Anyway, so she redefined the shape and image of women, and she really tried to engage in what it meant to be, oh, I don't know, for instance, androgynous. These would be purposely done and to engage people to look and gaze, and it would manipulate that male gaze. And it was a very interesting idea. Now, the thing is, a lot of people don't feel that for instance, it made a lasting impression because it was so, you know, unfriendly to what is just a very ordinary standard of beauty. But the effect she had was would have stayed for a very long time. And what makes the mainstream image is not necessarily what is, you know, directly correlated with I don't know what to call it, like an artistic venture in trying to recreate human beauty. But when you have all these, it's okay, let me put it this way. It's like concept cars and haute couture. I can't really pronounce it. So when you see a runway show or a concept car, I'm just trying to give two sides of the same story. It's very whack designs. It's designs that are completely impractical and useless, really, and not something you can wear outside. But when you push those boundaries, you can create interesting concepts. And it's those concepts that, say, these bigger fashion giants will adopt into their, you know, newest spring lineup collection or into your newest prototype car. And then from that prototype car or the newest line of fashion, you have these giants like Walmart, you know, copying those designs and then bringing it back to a more mainstream appeal. And I feel that's exactly what happened with Grace Jones's image. You had a team of artists who collaborated with her to produce all sorts of really interesting things, from dance club hits to new eyeliner colors to clothes that were completely off the wall. So, you know, if you look at a Lady Gaga costume, it's a little bit crazy, but it's not any more crazy than what was there before. And it's from those icons of images do you get the scaling back into something more palatable. So glam rock became a little bit more palatable. And then glam rock's glamorousness was scaled back even further when you had all these 80s, you know, rock and roll bands taking on a very glamorous makeup, but not so crazy that you wouldn't even recognize their gender. So that's the connection you have between these fringe acts who are doing things in the act of art and modern day performers who are only a little bit crazy but have mass appeal. And I can think of already La Rue. There's so many French words tonight, and I'm not a very good pronunciator of French words. So La Rue does a very Grace Jones kind of look, where, you know, her hair is short, but it's spiked in one way, and it's asymmetrical, and it's colored weird, but that has a more mainstream acceptance. All right, enough talking. Let's listen to a song. Because this is a freeform show tonight, I've always wanted to play this. It's from a group called Lo-Fi Funk, and the funk is spelled F-N-K. Now, the thing is, I have a lot of music I would not qualify as funk, but I really want to play. So, you know, for instance, Edith Piaf, not funk, but it has connections with the whole ideology of, say, blues, and it's a neat connection. Anyway, so Lo-Fi Funk I would classify as a straight house group, but it is such interesting music, and I've always wanted to play it, so I will. I heard this first from Brad Winters from CITR, and I think it was at one of his Pit performances, and I had to figure out what the song was. So it's a track called City, and it's really awesome, so you can stand up and dance to it.
Tired of living this country life, it's time to move up from the south. It seemed to have something for us, but now it's time to hit the bus. 60 miles of where it's at, finally getting back on track. So come on boy, just take us home to the city, that's where we belong. The city that's where we belong. The city that's where where we belong. Beginning feels like all so great, but soon it turns to just okay. See, I'm on this place for much too long, and you're always want to be moving on. But still it's great to be back home, the city that's where we belong.
Give up yourself unto the moment. Let's make this moment last.
So that was a track from the 90s, I believe. That's Moloko with Time Is Now, and that's a collaboration between an Irish singer and I believe a British producer. And they had a big romantic thing going on, and then they broke up, yet they were still obligated by their record label to produce another record together. And that record was a very sad and upsetting kind of the way that those two dealt with their breakup was to make it public and produce music. So that's The Time Is Now from that record. And speaking of The Time Is Now, almost midnight, so I'm done. And we're just going to toss one more song on. What's a good one? So I was going to play this tonight originally before I decided to just kind of do a free for, like, do a whatever type show. So a freeform talka fest. And you've been listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is the show Funk My Life. Tonight's different from most nights, and we're going to end with what we usually play, which is Remix Soul. So this is Ike and Tina Turner back when they were together as a couple. Speaking of broken up couples who produce music, this is their cover of Proud Mary, a CCR song. And this is the DJ Rudd, Nice and Easy Edit. It's a beautiful down-tempo soul song. I love this kind of stuff. And we're going to end the night on this. And I will talk to all you lovely people next week. A lot less talking, more music next week.